Lovely. Good morning, everybody.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see you. Come on in, take a seat. It is wet, but it is good to be together to worship the Lord. Very, very big welcome if you are new or a newbie, or if you are visiting with us this morning. It's great to have you joining us. My name's Emily, and I am the curate here at Knoll Parish Church. I'll be leading our service today. After the service, we serve refreshments, and those will very likely be in St. John's Hall today because of the weather. So do head on over to St. John's Hall and come and meet us over a cup of tea or coffee afterwards. But slowly, because our children's groups meet in St. John's Hall, so we need to do the handover to the parents first. So calmly, we will wait for our refreshments. Thank you for that reminder. As I've just mentioned, we have children's groups and youth group running today, Sunday youth running today. Those will happen a little bit later in the service, and I'll acknowledge and say when the time to go out is. Today, we're continuing our series, Foundations, Grappling with the Basics of Faith, that we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. So we've looked at the first week, invitation. Then last week we looked at baptism. And today our theme is calling on the name of Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus. Our reading for today says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Would you like to say that with me? There's power in the name of Jesus. And we've got a little slide there. There's power in the name of Jesus. And as we begin this time of worship, I'm going to say a few phrases or a few words, and I'd like you to respond by saying, there's power in the name of Jesus, okay? So in him, all things were created. In him, all things hold together. When I am afraid, he is God with us. At school, at home, at work. Yesterday. Tomorrow. Today. So now we can just take a breath. We can put down our burdens because we know. Amen. Let's stand.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say,
blessed be.
Be your glory.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name.
We're going to carry on blessing the Lord with Who's the King of the Jungle? So get ready. You feel like a boogie and a little bit of release. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Let's do it.
I sang that. Brilliant. Let's take a seat, and I'm going to invite Sarah.
Good morning. First things first, I'm a couple of leaders down this morning, so if anybody present has a church DBS and fancies coming giving us a hand this morning, your help would be very much appreciated. Depending on our numbers, we may not need you, but if a couple of people could come over, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Okay, so we're thinking about the fact that there's power in the name of Jesus. So I've got a bit of an activity for you this morning, which is going to involve using my name, because I didn't want to pick on anybody else because I thought that was mean. So in front of me, I have some cards numbered 1 to 5. Your first job is to choose a number, and then I'm going to read out what's on the back of that card. And basically, you have to call out my name in the way it says on the back of the card. Does that make sense? Sort of. Okay. Who said 6? Okay. 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5. Give me a number.
3. 2.
Let's go 2 to start with. Okay. As if you're happy with maybe with something I've just done for you. After 3, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Next number.
4.
As if you're thankful. This might challenge you. Go for it. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yes, yeah, some of you getting there. Okay, next number. One. You're just doing your own thing over there. 1, 3, or 5 we've got left. 3. Okay, as if you're really disappointed with me. Oh, gosh. Remind me not to disappoint you. Okay, number 1 or number 5? 5. As if you're just feeling really tired. Yeah. And not the best one to end on, but anyway, number 1. As if you're angry with me. Scary. There's power in how we use people's names, isn't there? And in how we say a name and what response we get. We know that when people use our name, but this morning we're thinking about what does it mean to call on the name of Jesus? And I'm going to leave you to ponder that.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Would you like any prayer ministry after that experience? Oh, you're all right. It's available later. Brilliant. So, as Sarah goes, I'm going to say a prayer now, and then the rest of us who are going to go out will go. So, Lord, as we continue worshipping you and learning more about who you are and the power of your name in our groups and here in church, please be with us all now. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, if you're a child or a young person or a helper, or if you are DBS checked and can go and offer your help, please go out now. Thank you.
Death could not hold you.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the post of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful name.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You have no rivals.
You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all.
What a powerful name.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name.
What a powerful name it is. The name of
What a powerful name.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
As we've been singing about the power of Jesus' name, about the power of when Jesus speaks our name, and the Lord just reminded me of the passage, the resurrection appearance of Jesus to Mary Magdalene, and I just want to read that. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The one in whose name there is power, the name above every name, knows your name. And as we reflect on that, I just would love us to just sing that song again, or part of that song again, please. Just spend some time with that.
You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all.
You have no rival.
You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all.
Powerful names.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Beautiful name. What a glorious name. We worship you. We bless your name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we want your name to be lifted high here and magnified in this place amongst us. Yours is the name above every single name, and those who call on your name are saved. We pray that your name would be lifted high, that our hearts would just want to shout your name today. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Take a seat, everybody, and we're going to move into our time of word. So we're going to listen to the Bible read to us now. Matt's going to come and read that, and then Jeff, our vicar, is going to come and preach.
Our reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, and it's verses 5 to 13. And if you want to follow it in the Pew Bible, that's on page 1137. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the deep. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me just pray for a moment. Lord, though we may have heard these words before, may we hear them today as though for the first time. May your Spirit move this morning and bring us understanding and revelation. Amen. There are times in life when you need to know that someone will come to help you. If you call out for help, if you're in trouble, you need to know that somebody's going to come to your rescue. Now, having been on holiday in Northumberland by the sea, we've walked past recently quite a few lifeboat stations, and it reminds you what a crucial job those lifeboat men and women do. You know by now that I have a few secret pleasures in life. One of them was DIY SOS. The other one is saving lives at sea. So I couldn't resist the temptation to play a little clip from Saving Lives at Sea.
Bringing gale force winds, raging seas, and an urgent call to the Coast Guard.
usually when the pager goes off in those conditions, something has probably gone very wrong and somebody is really in trouble.
The call has come in from the wife of a windsurfer in distress.
The situation is there's a reported windsurfer in difficulty at Gullen. Don't have a good description of him other than his windsurfer.
That did get worse as we approached the casualty. The position that they were in around small cliffs and a rocky bay, that's where the wind is driving the waves.
I don't want to go past them.
It wasn't too far off the shore. However, the direction of the wind and the magnitude of the waves meant that there was no way he could swim towards the shore.
The crew head into the shallows, aware that both the casualty and the boat are running out of time.
Get out of them, quick!
You don't want to mess about.
Go, go, go!
You pull them into the boat as fast as you possibly can, and then you get out of that situation as fast as you possibly can.
The casualty was quite shocked. He was very subdued when we got him on board.
Are you okay? You're not
He had a good wetsuit on. However, anyone in those conditions, no matter how good their kit, is going to be cold.
I expect that guy was very grateful to be rescued by those lifeboat men. How many people would say, why do I need to call out to God? To a God that I'm not sure about anyway. Why, I don't need rescuing, thank you very much. My life's okay. And our lives can seem quite comfortable, can't they? We can tell ourselves that, you know, I can manage on my own. I can figure things out for myself. The thing is, we don't always have the right perspective in life. A number of years ago, I was spending a few days on Lindisfarne, Holy Island. I decided to walk the Pilgrim Way. Some of you may well have done it. You follow a series of beacons across the sand at low tide. And I set out on this thinking that the sand looked firm and easy to walk on. How wrong I was. Halfway across, it became clear there were all sorts of terrain that I had to walk on. And the sand became very wet, and my feet at times began to sink into the sand. It felt a little bit like you were on sort of quicksand at times. Very disconcerting, and more than a little frightening as the wind howled, that sense of not being on ground as firm as I'd expected. Sometimes in life, what we imagine to be firm ground that we're standing on isn't. And for me, in my life, doubt about my code for living crept in as I read about the life of Jesus and as I compared my life to the way that he lived his life. An old lady once told her vicar appreciatively, "Vicar, we didn't know what sin was until you came to the parish." I didn't really know what sin was until I saw Jesus modeling a life that was pleasing to God. And I thought I was a, you know, reasonably okay, good guy, fairly moral, pretty respectful most of the time. But you know that feeling when you look upon freshly fallen snow, and the pure brilliance of the white of that snow shows you that most other shades of white that we encounter in life are fairly dirty in comparison. The writer G.K. Chesterton once commented on the morality of the philosopher Bertrand Russell. He said this: he treated the Ten Commandments like one of those exam papers which have at the top, not more than six of these should be attempted. And that's how many of us go through life, thinking we can choose that bit, that commandment. Well, I'm not too bad on that one. Don't really know about that one. Don't need to bother about that one. The Bible is quite clear, and it's quite clear in this passage from Romans, that Jesus Christ is the key to our being put right with God and to knowing him fully. He's the one who can help repair our broken relationship with God. See, the dilemma that faces all of us is this: how can we come into the presence of a holy God who is pure and faultless when the painful fact is that most of us find it impossible to live in this way? We're in need of forgiveness. We can't make ourselves righteous in God's eyes. Paul diagnoses the problem in this letter to the Romans. He talks in the first bit of that chapter about how the Jewish people are very zealous for God. But he talks about them refusing to accept God's way. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. The popular view around is still that if you try to do good and if you try not to harm anybody, it puts you on good terms with God. We prefer to live by what we might call the ladder of achievement. In other words, God rewards us for our good behavior. And being proud of our ability to pay our way in life, we think that we can come up to the mark. In the exam of life, we're pretty sure that we're going to be in the A grade. But the trouble is that God's standards are perfection. And the hard truth is that none of us ever succeed in keeping the law perfectly. In Romans 10, Paul is proclaiming a simple truth that nobody, by their own efforts, is good enough for God. God's not impressed by our carefully crafted CVs, our efforts to establish our credentials, to promote ourselves as good people. Doesn't cut the mustard. Paul outlines a way for us to come to a knowledge that we are fully accepted, that we are forgiven, that we are welcomed by God into his restored community. And it's deceptively simple. And remarkably, it's got nothing at all to do with keeping rules. Verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this isn't about a kind of vague awareness, a general sense of there being a higher power in life. It's not about an intellectual or a philosophical interest in Christianity as an academic subject. There is something to say, and there is something to believe. We have to use our lips to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Now, in the ancient world, Lord was a title for Caesar, the Roman Emperor. So saying that Jesus is Lord meant that Caesar wasn't Lord. And politically, that could get you into a whole heap of trouble. Lord means one who has authority over us, a master who deserves respect. Jesus is Lord over the whole universe. And the Gospels show us this Jesus has power over nature, over sickness, over sin, and over death. And because Jesus won for us by God and by the cross and resurrection, our salvation, we belong to him. We owe him a debt. He's the boss, he's the master, he's our supreme divine ruler. And to him we owe our foremost allegiance. So there's something we have to say, and then there's something we have to believe, that God raised Jesus from death. For Paul, Jesus' resurrection was the demonstration that this guy really was the Messiah. This is the turning point of the whole of human history. God wants us to be prepared to acknowledge that Jesus was and is the Messiah, God's own Son. If we want to have a true Christian faith, then we need to believe certain things about the person of Jesus Christ, that he came from God, that he spoke and acted as God, that he was crucified for our sin, and raised from the dead. And we need to be convicted of the fact that Jesus shares the very nature of God, his authority, his power, his holiness. And we also need to believe and put our faith in the pardon that Jesus offers. We have to believe that by his death on the cross, Jesus has done everything necessary for our salvation. Now, that word confession means to agree with, to declare, to speak out openly what you believe. It's really about the mouth giving voice to what the heart believes. Acknowledging, believing, Paul is saying this is the gateway to knowing that you are in a saving relationship with God. When I was a curate, I had the privilege of explaining this very verse to a young mum. She'd been attending an inquirers group that I'd been running in the local pub. And she became a Christian there and then. At my leaving service, at the end of my curacy, her husband stood up to say that he'd decided to follow Jesus too. In fact, out of the 13 people who had attended that inquirer's course in that pub, all of them became Christians. I've never seen anything like it since in this country. Our passage tells us that God richly blesses all who call on him. There's no partiality. It applies to everybody. All human differences between people are rendered unimportant. All distinctions of wealth, of status, of title, nationality, they mean nothing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, if God is offering us such a precious gift, a way of being put right with him, then why don't we leap at the offer? God feels sadness as he looks upon us. He experiences the pain of unrequited love. Isaiah 65, he says, to a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am, here I am. All day long I've held out my hands to an obstinate people. All day long I held out my hands. Well, maybe it's because we find charity hard to accept. We'd rather work for things. We certainly find it hard to admit any sense of need. It's interesting, they say that you can't help a drowning man until he stops struggling. It took me 3 years to stop struggling with God and to receive his gift of salvation. It was hard to humble myself, to accept I needed something that was totally undeserved. Sometimes we can think that believing in Jesus is like taking a massive leap into the dark, into the unknown. I can only say that as you jump into the darkness, you find that the darkness is actually light. Verse 11, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. We often say in life, seeing is believing. But for the Christian, seeing comes more fully as we believe, as we put our trust in God. To believe in Jesus doesn't mean that you have to have all the answers to all your questions sorted and wrapped up. You can take that first step and then you can spend a lifetime making sense of your remaining questions. A minister was preaching in the chapel of a psychiatric hospital. In the middle of his sermon, one of the patients stood up and shouted, "How long have we got to listen to this appalling rubbish?" The minister turned to the consultant psychiatrist next to him and whispered rather nervously, "Oh, shall I stop speaking?" "No, no, go ahead," said the psychiatrist. "But what if he interrupts again?" said the minister, not wanting to cause a scene. "No, he won't, I can assure you," said the psychiatrist. "That man has only had one lucid moment in 7 years." I hope that you have had a lucid moment during the course of this sermon. I heard a number of sermons and talks in my life before I became a Christian. There was only one moment when I heard things in a totally different way with absolute clarity. And God said, "You know, this is true." May today be that moment for somebody here this morning. Everyone who calls out to the Lord will be saved. You may be waiting for 100% proof. Let me say, we'll never find 100% proof for anything in life. It always comes down to a balance of probabilities. The Jesuit writer Henri Nouwen became fascinated by the work of trapeze artists, by the idea of flying through the air, letting go, and having to trust that there was another acrobat who would catch you. It seemed dangerous, but everything depends on the skill, the dedication of the catcher. Let's have a look at what that might feel like.
Anybody can fly to your hands. The first couple of weeks, it was scary. When you're a flyer and you become a catcher, it's hard because you're seeing that body coming at you. It's like a fight. Every part of your body has got to be stiff. You got to grab that wrist, and then you got to let him down. Like somebody will attach 140 pounds to your wrist, and they just drop it.
If you leap, there is one who's going to catch you. It's never easy to leap into space, but we can trust that God is the one who is waiting to catch us. And when we exercise faith, there is no one better to catch us. So maybe this trapeze artist is not a bad metaphor or image for what is necessary to enter into relationship with God. But as I finish, let me say, faith is not just a flash in the pan when we need it. Faith is a lifetime of following. It's not a one-time confession. We need to recognize Jesus afresh as Lord every day of our lives. Faith in Jesus for us has to be about believing, going on believing to the end of our lives. It needs to be a continuing faith, because Jesus is going to be looking for evidence of our confession in our lives. Let's pause there and just leave a moment of silence. What is it God has been saying to you this morning? The song we're going to sing in response to the things I've been saying is an invitation to come and follow Jesus. Please stand to sing.
to reshape the world around. Through my sight and touch and sound in you, and you in me. Lord, your summons echo through when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you.
Please take a seat. Thank you so much, Jeff. And just to say, if you felt your heart sort of quicken during that talk, if you felt that that was a word for you, then do go and access prayer ministry later on after the service. It will be in this side chapel here. Or do speak to Jeff or to myself as well if you'd like to talk further. I'm now going to invite Matt up, who's going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Just bow our heads before our King, the Creator, the I Am. As we come to prayer, let's just think for a moment on God's holiness and His majesty and power beyond our comprehension. Think of the awesome sight of stars and the universe, our incredible planet. Thank Him quietly in your hearts that His love for us is also powerful beyond imagination. Love so powerful that He sent Jesus to die and rise again for us. And that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Think of God's delight in colour and beauty. The joy of spring flowers and colours. Cherry blossom trees in bloom, bluebells, fresh green leaves. Thank Him for all the good things in nature that He's given us. There for our pleasure and just a glimpse at the heaven He has prepared for us. Think of God's friendship for us. All that He has done through Jesus. Forgiveness, patience, faithfulness. Anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Thank Him for our own friends, our church, our community, all of which God also cherishes. Thank you, Lord, that although you are holy, and we are so often not what you would want us to be, all we have to do is acknowledge Jesus as Lord, believe He was raised from the dead, to have that wonderful personal relationship with you. To have you walk with us through the challenges and complications of life. Shepherd us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege. Thank you, Lord, for that assurance. We ask, Lord, that you protect us under the shadow of your wings from turning our back on you when we leave here today. Keep us without sin. May our church and our homes be a place where the devil cannot get a foothold and set snares for us. We bring before you today, Lord, those who especially need your assurance and your comfort today. Pray for the family of John Arnold Atkins, whose funeral was last Tuesday. Pray for Chris Jones, Amelia and Megan, and their wider family. As the loss of Ali, as they prepare for the celebration of her life on the 10th of May. And we ask, Father, for your blessing and to be very personal to those who are ill or recovering at the moment. We just name them before you. Val Joyce, Sam Lung, Deb Dubar, Janet Stewart, and Adrian Curtis. Thank you, Lord. You are so powerful, but your love is so personal and powerful for us. And now we're going to say together just the words of our evangelist and prayer as we close our prayers together. Lord God of mission, fill my life with your Spirit, that I may become more like Jesus. Make my life to shine with your light. May my heart be humble, my actions generous, and my words sensitive. Fill me with longing to share your good news, so that through all I do and all I am and with all I meet, may Jesus be known and his kingdom established. Amen. Amen.
Great, I'm going to invite Nick Brown up now because we're going to have a reordering project slot. I've got a sense there might be a few of these slots coming up over the next little while. Maybe we should have a jingle at some point. There we go, how's that? So this is Nick, who is our project leader for the reordering project. And on Wednesday, Jeff updated us at the APCM. Thank you to all those who came to that. And you're going to share a little bit more with us now.
Yes.
So
feeling a bit giddy after all the trapeze artists.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It was amazing, wasn't it? So where are we? What do you have to update us on?
Thanks, Emily. Well, good morning. And as Emily said, Jeff updated us at the APCM on Wednesday last, and this is just a few more details behind that. We have appointed architects to look at our vision and what is possible here in the church. And they are a firm called BHB. They're based in Lichfield and Cheltenham. And we chose them for a variety of reasons, not least of which was that they understood the vision that we have for the church, for its growth, and for years to come. But also that they are specialists in conservation architecture. And that's going to be important to make sure that we reinforce and respect the heritage and magnificence of the building. So where we are now is that we enter the first phase of this work with professional assistance as well as our own thoughts. This will go over the rest of this year and perhaps into early next year. And there are two main tasks in that. The first one is the C word, which is consultation. Comes up a lot, but it's really gathering together both inside the church and those bodies outside who are in the village, in the community, what our thoughts and aspirations, our needs are, in accordance with what we've been praying about and in considering in line with the vision. So there'll be various groups organised that will look at sound, light, worship and so on from different congregations, both inside and groups outside the church. That's not about deciding what the colour of the taps are going to be or the wall hangings or anything like that, but it's actually how we deliver our God's mission through the church and what we do. The building is only used for about 8 to 10 hours a week for services, and one of the challenges that we have is how do we make best use of the building to worship God. It's his house, it's been here for over 600 years, and almost from the start it's changed and developed. So I think the challenge, amongst other things, is how will it change for the next 200 years to make sure Christians are worshipping here then and people are attracted to hear the word of God here. The second big task is to assemble a team of people. And it's great to see so many people here. There is the team, as diverse and inclusive as you wish it to be. But myself and Ian Kay are doing some of the heavy lifting on the work. But please support us with prayer, most importantly. And I'm very pleased to be able to say that Peter and Wendy Thompson are going to lead a special prayer ministry in support of the work we're doing on the reordering and for the people involved in it, which will be all of us ultimately. Other key work streams that we need to work through: communications and consultation to make sure people's voices are heard, both inside and outside the church. How we fund the work. A lot of it will come obviously from our own resources, but also what funds we can draw from outside. How will the building work going ahead? This is a place of worship. This is God's house in the village. It's a place of worship. And if we do it when we've done the work in the same way that we've got it now, we won't have achieved much. And God, I'm sure, has a great vision for us to do more. We have the parish vision. We need to make sure that for the next 200 years, we can use the church building as much as we can.
And Nick, so if there are people here who think, actually, I would love to join the team praying for this, I would love to be involved in the fundraising, I'd love to be involved in the communications, what do people need to do?
Give me a shout. I'll be here after the church service. Brilliant. And Ian Kay, when he's back from the Netherlands, or look us up on the church directory, and specifically on prayer, speak with Peter or Wendy. That was the next point. Well read.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So there's lots to do. There's lots of things that we haven't thought of yet. But God is good, and he's been great to us so far. And just going back, there is power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in what he wants us to do, I'm sure.
Amen. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Lovely. Okay. Could you stay there a second? Because I'd just love to pray. I think it's important to pray. Lord God, I just thank you for Nick being willing to take on the role as project leader, and Ian Kay as the role of project manager. We thank you for the appointment of the architects. And Lord, we thank you for this next phase. I pray that you would fill Nick and Ian especially with your spirit in this next stage of this work, in all of the consultation and the feasibility. And Lord, I pray that you would be prompting in us, we are the body of Christ, how we can be involved in this big and exciting project. And Lord, would you lead us? Would you guide us? This is your church. You are the head of this church, Lord Jesus. And we would love this to be an accessible place for all to come and discover the power of your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Brilliant. So, I'm going to publish some Bands of Marriage now. So it is my honour and privilege to publish the Banns of Marriage between William David Graham, single, of this parish, and Elizabeth Gillian Jackson, single, of this parish. This is the third time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why they may not marry each other, you are to declare it. So let us pray for William and Elizabeth as they prepare for their wedding. Lord of love, we pray for William and Elizabeth. Be with them in their preparations. Be with them on their wedding day. And would you be with them throughout their married life together? Would you give them your love in their hearts? Would you draw them closer together and closer to you? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, so a few other notices today. The new edition of the Parish Magazine is available with some very sporty looking cover stars. Get your copy from Chris Welton, who will be no doubt shouting after the service, getting you to sign up. Also, some other notices. So this afternoon at St. Alphage's, is it St. Alphage or St. Alphage's? St. Alphage Church. There is the welcome service for the new Bishop of Birmingham. He was my former principal at Theological College, Michael Volland, and he's the new Bishop of Birmingham. And as a deanery, we are welcoming him, some members of our choir, and Alex is going to be playing the piano, and people, no, saxophone.
And piano.
And piano, both, wow. At the same time?
Same time.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's the reason to come itself. It's a chance to welcome him to our deanery and to hear his word to us. He's an inspiring speaker. Come and hear from our new bishop. That's at 4:30, this afternoon at St. Alphage Church. The fun run is coming up on the 19th of May. There's lots of ways to get involved. Do contact James Thorne. Just to say, this Thursday, the Lower Guildhouse is being used as a polling station. So New Horizons, Let's Pray, and Table Talk will all be happening here in church that day. If those groups are for you at all, they'll be happening there. I have got a tech team notice. Your technical team needs you. We find ourselves at the moment extremely short of hands to operate the sound and the words for all our weekly services. Contrary to what you might think, you don't need to be super technically minded to help, and you don't need to serve every week, once a month, and you'll get all the support and training that you need. If you think you can help in any way,
in any capacity, then please email the parish office or speak to Alex or Karen Humby, who would love to hear from you. Thank you. And I want to give a notice about Thy Kingdom Come, which is coming up. Perhaps you've heard of Thy Kingdom Come. Here it is, the slide. It runs from the 9th of May, which is Ascension Day, when we remember Jesus ascending to be with the Father, through to Pentecost, which is this year, the Sunday, the 19th of May, also the Fun Run Day. But during those 9 days, it's a global initiative of Christians all around the world joining together to pray that prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, and to particularly pray for the work of God's Spirit in those who do not know him yet. So we have the saying, like, pray for five. It's not just a saying, it's what we actually do. Pray for five people in our lives who do not know Jesus yet. We specifically pray for them during that time. And we're joining in as a church. It's an exciting time in the church calendar as we wait for the coming of the Spirit again, like the first Christians did. And we hope that this is going to be an exciting and faith-building time for you. And you see on the screen that there are some different options for how to engage with this. The first is the prayer journal, and you will have seen the prayer journals in your pews. This is a booklet that you can take away. It's free, and it gives us prayers and links to content each day during the 9 days of Thy Kingdom Come, with space to list the five people we're praying for. Take one with you this week. Secondly, our church is going to be open with creative prayer stations in St. John's Chapel. This is this side chapel here. From Monday the 11th of May to Saturday the 18th. You can drop in, maybe put a slot in your diary to just come in and pray at any point when the church is open, obviously. Thirdly, we're setting aside 7 a.m., so early morning prayer from Monday to Friday that week for a simple, short morning prayer to start the day. Why not come to one of those? Why not see what it's like to join with other Christians at that early in the morning? See what people look like that early in the morning. Lastly, in the 24 hours leading up to the celebrations on the 19th, we're asking you to find an hour to pray. We want to do 24 hours of prayer so that within those 24 hours, at least one person is praying, so that we're consistently praying during that time. Between 7 a.m. Saturday and 7 a.m. Sunday, there's power in prayer. So you can either pray here in the church or overnight in our interactive Zoom room that will be set up in time. So, how to sign up for prayer slots, that's going to be available next week. There'll be a big flip chart for you to sign up. But for now, maybe that's a lot of information. You're thinking, oh, another big thing with lots of dates. Just maybe think, how can you engage with this? Maybe it might be one way. Take away your prayer journal. May God's kingdom come. May his will be done. Okay, I think that's the end of our bumper notices. So I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing before our final song. Can I invite you to stand? God the Father, who has given to his Son the name above every name, strengthen you to proclaim Christ as Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to remain standing to sing our offertory song, At the Name of Jesus. And during this song, if parents, carers could go and collect your children, that would be great.
At the name of Jesus.
So let us let his will enfold us now and as we go from here and into whatever this week looks like. Shape our hearts, O Lord, our desires in accordance with your will this week. And let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Do be seated. Just take your time going to coffee so we've got time for the kids to get out and enjoy.